The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt podcast, bringing to you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Helping make it all possible is the generous partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I'll trust you enjoy. Joined by Byron York of the Washington Examiner and Fox News. Good morning, Byron.
Good morning, Hugh.
I have a question for you. We are 6 months into the Joe Biden presidency. And the president has spent $1 trillion the country didn't have and unleashed the Biden inflation. COVID is surging. Where are the 6 months out stories? Where are these, 6 months in and here we are? Because there just isn't anything to write about.
Well, if you look at the job approval numbers of the president, which are overall are good, it's almost all based on his handling of the pandemic, of coronavirus. And people so far are happy with that. Now, we don't know how that will be affected by all of this talk about variant and people who aren't vaccinated and all of that stuff, and perhaps some sort of compulsory policies that may follow that may make a lot of people more unhappy. But most of his approval rating is based on his handling of COVID. And so the question is, in a post-COVID world, where does his approval rating go? And also,
hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Passing his big legislative accomplishment, this $2 trillion spending bill, which was a lot more than a COVID bill, as we discussed, was sold and marketed as a COVID relief bill. So, all of his success right now, the whole thing is based on dealing with COVID, which was, of course, an enormously important issue, by far the most important issue when the election occurred last November.
But it is not dealt with. I've got a column coming out in the Washington Post. I believe that the military ought to mandate vaccinations and government employees ought to mandate vaccinations. And I don't mind that Indiana University is going to mandate vaccinations. You can't mandate people get them. But the Delta variant's a second wave. And Joe Biden has not successfully credentialed new spokespeople who are persuasive. And there are very low vaccination rates in the rural right and the urban left. It's equally a problem in some demographics. They don't want to get vaccinated. That's Biden failure. But the Biden inflation is real, and they want to spend another $3.5 to $4 trillion, and the infrastructure bill's not getting done. It doesn't look good if you're a Democrat,
yeah.
Byron York.
I listened to your discussion with David, and I agreed with all of that. But I think that maybe you didn't put enough emphasis on the irrational, emotional factors driving Democrats. For whatever reason, they came out of the Trump years with an incredible sense of grievance. They believed, of course, that the Russians had handed the presidency to Trump over the rightful winner, Hillary Clinton, and it just went downhill from there. Then they spent 4 years trying to bring him down, and they just couldn't, and they hit him harder, and he didn't go down. They hit him even harder, and he didn't go down. He left, in just a terrible, terrible way. But they now have taken over with this sort of pent-up demand for enormous government programs, and adding to their frustration. Here again, it's a story of just frustration and grievance. Adding to their frustration is they don't control a majority of seats in the U.S. Senate. It's 50-50, and they can only pass things by mustering all 50 of their Democrats and getting the Vice President, Kamala Harris, to break a tie. You can't be FDR. You can't be LBJ with a 50-50 Senate, and yet they desperately want to do this. So I think that what you're seeing on Capitol Hill with some of this crazy stuff that Schumer is doing, I mean, Schumer, this Wednesday thing, a cloture vote on the big spending bill, is like something you would do if you had 56 or 58 seats in the Senate. But he's got 50.
Yeah, in fact, they branded themselves as FDR without FDR's majorities. Filibuster-proof majorities. They branded themselves as FDR and ain't going to be FDR. Now, I have a question for you, Byron. The other thing about Democrats that they won't admit, I made one trip to the White House after the election, and I was asked by some very senior people, what do you think happened? And I said, the president lost, and he lost because of polling. And I pointed to the ABC Washington Post poll that showed him 17 points down in Wisconsin, which he lost by a handful of votes. I believe polling distorted everything in the country, that it ruined his election bid. They did not have good strategy. They had their own bad polling. I am now proven right that polling was historically bad. You wrote about this for the Examiner. I want you to expand on it because they'll never admit this. They won because of bad polling.
This was an astonishing story. First of all, if you remember during the race, it felt like the polls were wrong. There was something wrong with him. The race felt tighter than the polls indicate. I'm not saying like the race said Trump was going to win. I'm saying it felt tighter than the polls indicated. And so what we've had now is a study, a report by the American Association for Public Opinion Research, a bunch of political scientist types who've looked at the polling. And they looked at more than 1,000 and concluded that the national election polls overstated Joe Biden's lead over Trump by 3.9 percentage points. That's big. The state level polls of the presidential race were even worse, overstated Biden's lead by 4.3 points. And the statewide races polls, that is for senators and governors, were still worse. They were overstating the Democratic lead by 6 percentage points. Now, you just heard something. All the errors went in one direction. They all overstated the lead of a Democratic candidate over a Republican candidate. And the political scientists said, well, boy, we've studied this. We've looked at it. We just can't quite conclude why this occurred. But the fact is, the polls and all the media reports based on them consistently gave a picture of a race that wasn't really close. So, if Joe Biden is leading by 1 point in a race, the responsible way to say it is it's virtually tied. But if he's leading by 6 points, you say, well, Biden has a solid lead. And that's what we saw throughout the coverage.
And what that story did not include, and what I insist be included, polling affects behavior. And when the Washington Post ABC comes out and says that Joe Biden is ahead of Donald Trump by 17 points in Wisconsin, they are impacting the election because people don't make meaningless gestures. Indeed, they find it discordant to go and vote for a known loser. It's just not done. And the study didn't show the other shoe that has to drop. This impacted the election.
Yes, the fact is, if polls consistently show an overwhelming lead one side or the other, then the losing side gets discouraged, and they don't see any great reason to get up and go to the polls. And it does, I believe, depress some turnout. The ABC poll that you mentioned from Wisconsin is maybe the most egregious of the whole campaign, but it probably had an effect on the voting in Wisconsin. But nationally, and in all the states, if you look at this 4 or 5 points overstated lead, Biden got this benefit, not just Wisconsin, but almost everywhere across the country.
It also impacts fundraising and volunteer turnout. It impacts whether or not you return your ballot. I just think we've got to stress. I think Biden won the election. I don't think there was fraud significant enough to overturn even one state. And they never proved it. They lost 60 times. It's not even a doubt in my mind. But this is a different issue. And I don't believe they worked hard enough to fix this. Because I believe the same study showed this has been going on for 20 plus years.
Right. It was the worst performance in decades, but that doesn't mean that it had been good before. It was worse even than 2016. And as a journalist, I depend a lot on polls. When I go out and cover a race, I was in Pennsylvania for the last week of the 2020 presidential election. I mean, I was kind of measuring what I was seeing and hearing versus what the polls were telling me. And I sometimes kind of come up with a mix. And as a matter of fact, in Pennsylvania in 2020, I think I published an article on the 1st of November, Election Day was the 3rd, saying, yes, there is a hidden Trump vote here. There is absolutely a hidden Trump vote. And, of course, he did outperform his polls. He lost the state, but he outperformed his polls. So, I think that journalists, people like me, after this performance in 2020, on top of the 2016 performance, just have to really reconsider how we treat.
And Byron, you have to reconsider the fact that Glenn Youngkin and Terry McAuliffe are allegedly tied, according to the polls. That means if past performance is indicative of present condition, Glenn Youngkin's ahead by 4 or 5 points. And by the way, that's consistent with what I feel is happening, and I'm pretty objective about Virginia. I never get excited about things that aren't going well. I think Youngkin's ahead. Byron York, follow him on Twitter at Byron York. Get his daily brief by registering for it at the Washington Examiner. Come right back to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. Our program is coming today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you're enjoying the podcast, please tell a friend to go to Town Hall Review and sign up as well today.
This is Jerry Boyer of Town Hall Finance for townhall.com. Do you remember when Target banned the book Irreversible Damage by Abigail Schreier and one by Dr. Deborah So, The End of Gender? In response to an uproar, they acknowledged the mistake and reinstated the books. But in response to a question from me at the recent annual shareholders meeting, we learned that earlier this spring, Target quietly re-banned those books. No announcement of the banning and no explanation of why these books specifically were banned. But the reasons are becoming increasingly clear. Whether it's the Equality Act or campaigns against state religious freedom acts or book bans, Target never seems to miss an opportunity to put its thumb on the culture war scale against First Amendment free expression and religious liberty. I was one person asking one question, and we uncovered this act of sneaky censorship. Imagine what would happen if a few thousand shareholders, like you perhaps, joined me.
Publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu.